Our scripture reading today is Luke 6, 12 and 13, 27 and 35. Pew Bible page 895. One of those days, Jesus went out to the mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to someone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to those to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked.
Thank you, Kaylee, and thank you, choir. This is one of those passages that sometimes we wonder, why do we keep reading and going over these kinds of things? Why do we read about prayer? We know about prayer. I'm praying for you. She sure is a prayer warrior. I don't know what I'd do without prayer. We know the importance of prayer. I couldn't get through a day without prayer. Perhaps you have said some of these things, or perhaps this is your daily mantra. All are statements that speak of the importance of prayer. And yet, there are other times when, as we've said before, we wonder if God's even listening at all. If God hears us, especially when the only times we go to God with anything regularly is when trouble comes. And then we say, well, wait a minute. You didn't answer me immediately. I know it surprises you that I have a little bit of a warped sense of humor. And in the movie Bruce Almighty, there is a section where Jim Carrey, who has been granted the opportunity now to be God because he's complained that God never hears his prayers and God never pays attention, and God has given him that opportunity, is all of a sudden inundated with prayers in all kinds of languages all at once. By the way, that's part of what we'll talk about tonight in Mere Christianity, too. How can God hear all those prayers at the same time? You ever wonder that? And so he is wondering about this, but the thing is, the only time he had ever gone to God in prayer was when he was either in trouble, or he wanted this nice souped-up sports car, or he wanted to date this particular young woman. But most of the time it was when he was in trouble. And so he wondered why God didn't answer. And perhaps we wonder that as well, especially if we are like that. The primary times we go to God are those times when we want something or we need to get out of trouble. I hope that's not the case for we who are gathered here today, but I have to admit there have been times in my life when it almost seemed like my laundry list was I needed to get, if you'll just do this, I won't do that. If you'll do this, I won't say that kind of thing. But without being too platitudinous this morning, I think we need to be reminded of the priority that Jesus places on prayer, and not just the priority that he places on prayer so that we get it over with, but rather the priority of prayer that then leads into how we live our lives with others, even those who don't like us or we don't like or we don't particularly care about. As the passage opens, just prior to this, Jesus has healed a man with a withered hand, thereby restoring him to a place of usefulness in society. This man that was somewhat useless and looked down upon. And now Jesus has restored his hand, and he is now deemed as useful. However, the religious leadership were not pleased at all. If you go back and read that story, or if you remember it, you know how they confronted Jesus and how upset they were with Jesus, especially since this took place on the Sabbath. While they were angry and plotted against Jesus, our passage opens. And it tells us that Jesus, instead of standing there and confronting them or arguing or sitting back and twiddling his thumbs and saying, okay, let's wait and see what they come up with, goes off by himself. He goes off into the hillside alone to pray. His reaction to their reaction was to go and pray, to spend time alone, to spend time in connection with God the Father, to spend time reflecting upon the things that he had done and what he needed to do next. As sunset came to the mountains, he looked out over those mountains, looked at that sunset, marveled at the beauty and the peace, and began praying. As the sun rose the next morning, he was still praying. He was still communing with God the Father and opening himself up as a human being to that which he needed for that day's work, that day's ministry. I hesitate to ask, and will not ask for a show of hands, but how many of us have ever spent more than an hour at a time praying, much less an entire night? Perhaps we have had a great tragedy going on in our families, someone in the hospital, someone at death's door, and we spent much time in prayer. But I would dare say that for most of us, if we really could look back and reflect, we would pray a little while and then perhaps think of other things or sleep or talk or go get something to eat and then come back and pray again. And I'm not belittling that, because we need those other times. But here Jesus tells us that the priority in life, when we begin our day and when we end our day and at any other opportunity that we have, the priority in life, so that we can truly live as God would have us, is prayer. And not just the quickie prayers. God is great, God is good, go God, go. Or through the teeth and past the stomach. Through the teeth and past the gums, look out stomach, here it comes. Or the one that I've shared with you all before at nighttime. Now lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, don't let my family celebrate. Or some variation of that. But Jesus had just had one of those days that was filled with highs. He had healed a man who was very grateful, and lows. He had been attacked by people who should have been happy for the man, but now were angry at Jesus. He had done good, but not everyone was pleased. Jesus knew that some loved him, but he also knew that there were very many who despised him. Yet he knew that prayer, communicating with the Father, would help him in his humanity, both with the difficulties that he would face, and would give him guidance and the strength that he needed in maintaining a relationship not only with God the Father, but in maintaining a relationship with others. Jesus knew that there would continue to be difficulties in life for Him. He also knew that there would be difficulties for the ones whom He would choose to be disciples. And in His prayers, this particular prayer, right before Luke tells us He goes out and chooses disciples who would be later called apostles, I am sure that Jesus also prayed for guidance. For guidance in those whom He would choose, and for guidance for them, that they too might be in proper relationship with God. Therefore, prayer was a priority for Jesus at any time and at all times. Prayer for whom to call. Prayer for how to instruct. Prayer for living His ministry. It's interesting that Luke is the only gospel writer that tells us about this prayer. This prayer all night long, right before choosing these followers, this core group, which indicates to us that when we have difficult decisions to make, when we need guidance, perhaps in selecting folks for a ministry team, or selecting folks to help us go out to help other folks, or selecting folks for any task in our lives, the priority is to ask God for guidance and to pray for those whom we choose, those to whom we are led, that they too might find that same guidance and that same strength. These disciples are the ones who are going to have to carry on after Jesus finished His ministry. But since Jesus continues to call disciples like us, His prayer included you and me and everyone who would respond to His call. As He chose those early disciples, Jesus chooses us. And as He remembered and prayed for those early disciples, Jesus continues to remember you and me, to offer to us His grace, to offer to us the opportunity to learn and to tell, to become apostles, sharing the good news. Interestingly enough, when Jesus chooses the disciples, in the Gospel of Mark, we find the statement that He chose them, quote, that they might be with Him, end of quote. To follow Him, to be close, to set the same examples as Jesus, including prayer. A little girl that was in Sunday school, and she came home one Sunday and was talking with her parents who didn't go very regularly to church, and they wondered what she was learning. And she said, well, they had been talking about the disciples in Sunday school. And her mom said, well, what about the disciples? She said, well, we talked about how they were Jesus' samples to the world. She kind of mixed up examples and samples. But she said, we talked about how those disciples were Jesus' samples to the world. Perhaps she knew more about what she was speaking than we oftentimes do. Because is that not what we as disciples are called to be? And is that not what Jesus prays for us and prayed for His own disciples when He said in the Gospel of John, I pray that they may all be one just as you and I are one. To be samples of Jesus so that others can learn that we too know the priorities of being Christian, the priorities of prayer, the priorities of following Jesus, the priorities of teaching others that even in the middle of good times and bad, we have one who walks with us, beside us, and supports us. As we follow, we too are to understand that priority. In the Sermon on the Plain, which is part of what we have after Jesus' prayer here, Jesus states how we are to live that prayer. Praying even for our enemies. Now, that doesn't mean that we just sit down at one point in time and we say, okay, well, I'm going to pray for all these family members that I love, and now I'm going to say, and Lord, all those folks that did me wrong, I want you to take care of them. I guess that could have a couple of different meanings. Take care of them. And then we move along. No. Jesus says that we are to pray for their healing. As we mentioned the other week in our Mere Christianity study, that is a part of what we are called to do, is to pray that people will be healed of those things that they do wrong, so that they might become useful once again. So that they might be overwhelmed by God's grace to the point to where they cease those sins, those things that wrong us and wrong others. To pray for guidance for them, that they might find out how to live in relationship with God, as subsequently repent of their sins and come to live in relationship with others. To pray that God could make them useful once again. To pray that they will repent. To pray that they will seek forgiveness from God and those whom they have wronged. To pray as Jesus prayed, even for those who had just blown him out of the water because he did good on the Sabbath. But you know, that was a difficult thing to do, even in Jesus' day, much less our own. Think about his time, the Greco-Roman world. In that particular period in history, courage and revenge were the key words for the hero and the strong. Show courage, take revenge. On the other hand, Jesus calls for us to love and to forgive. Actually, which is much more difficult than taking revenge, is it not? Christian ethics are to be positive, to consist of doing things, not doing them, and are based on what one writer calls the extra thing that is agape, a love that is willing to overlook hurt and forgive, but a love that is demanding. You know, a lot of times we think that form of God's love is one that says, oh, well, you know, okay, you did this wrong. Well, I'm going to forgive you and just overlook it and never think that you did it wrong. No, that's not what we're talking about. Agape recognizes the wrong that has been done and that it is an affront to love, but agape then seeks to move beyond for healing. We are to protect the gospel of love from criticism by the ways we live that love and that grace. But oftentimes, in order to live it, we have to pray. To pray every time we come in the presence of that person. To pray every time we think of the action that has wronged us. To pray every time we think, well, you know, I'm going to get back at so-and-so by doing such-and-such. To protect the gospel of love from criticism through prayer, seeking our own healing, and to protect ourselves from the corruptive spirit of revenge. I told you before, there are a couple of folks in this world that be hard to find a break if they stepped out in front of me. But my ongoing prayer is that someday I will get beyond that. Someday I will find that kind of grace. Someday hasn't gotten here yet. I'll have to admit. But it also means that there is something toward which to always be working. And the priority of prayer is that I will be changed as well as they will be changed. And Jesus shows us the way to accomplish this change through that prayer before, during, and after dealing with life issues, before, during, and after dealing with others. New Testament theologian Adolf Deismann writes, and I quote, "These words are spoken in an electric atmosphere. They are not quiet stars, but flashes of lightning followed by a thunder of surprise and amazement that Jesus would say, 'Pray for your enemies that they might be healed.'" We talk a lot about praying for others, but prayer for others must begin, first of all, with prayer for ourselves and our relationship with God. And then prayer for ourselves and our relationship with those, even those we don't like. Jesus was confronted, and he had done something good, but Jesus was confronted by people who were mean-spirited, who were angry, and who only cared for themselves and that they be seen as right. Jesus' response was to go aside and pray. And yes, he prayed for his disciples, but notice, I'm sure he prayed for other things too, but praying for that situation and praying for his disciples didn't take 20 minutes. It didn't take an hour. It took him all night long. So that he too was prepared the next day to go give samples of himself so that others might be samples of him. A lot easier to say than do. And yet that is the priority of prayer, that we seek not only the correction of others, but that first and foremost, we seek the correction of our relationship with God. To be samples of Jesus, we are to do and to be what Jesus did. A part of that is a priority of prayer that begins and ends and begins our days, that we may truly be sons and daughters of God. Samples of Jesus, so that we and others might be healed through the priority of prayer. May we pray. Our gracious God, help us, even in those times that we really don't want to find within us that sample of you which calls us to prayer, not just for the good of others, but even for our own good. It's in Christ's name that we offer these prayers and we open ourselves to you. Amen. Our closing hymn, our hymn of commitment, is "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," number 630. You know, a lot of times when we have really close friends, it's not just in marriage that people start looking alike or acting alike, but with close friends, you can do the same thing. My best friend in high school, we can call each other, even having not spoken on the phone or in person for a couple of years now, just because of busyness, and we could pick up in a conversation that started 15 years ago. Why? Because we truly have had that relationship. What a friend we have in Jesus, so that we might be samples and pick up those conversations wherever. Our altar is open for any decision that you might make. Number 630, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus."